With the Lord's help, let us turn together to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and read verse 20 to the end.
Браття наші, досвідчите з Божою помочі Святого Євангелія по Йовану, 12 глава, от 20 стиха по надалі.
And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." May God bless the reading of his word. The passage begins with certain Greeks that came up to worship at the feast with the desire to see Jesus. And Jesus has words for everyone who comes and desires to see him. They will not be convenient, they will not be easy words to hear, but they will be words of soundness, of life, of truth, of love, of faith, of mercy, and goodness, that brings out the very best for our souls. And the world does not receive them. They are not words that even the chief rulers here it mentions would be proud of and boast of. But the disciples received the word, and Jesus prayed for them because they had heard the words that Jesus had given. They have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. They embraced it. They held it and cherished it as the truth and revelation of who God is. And in this passage, we see among many beautiful and profound and valuable teachings, we see Jesus explaining and demonstrating true consecration to his Father, true dedication of purpose to his Father, truly glorifying his Father in everything. That is part of the message that Jesus has for us this morning, that he wants to reveal to us, that he wants us also to embrace, because there is no salvation outside of our God. And there's no explanation of God that is better than the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. There's no substitute. There's no words that can be spoken. There's no train of logic or persuasion that could be offered. It is Jesus Christ and his words and his life that when displayed, when spoken in its simplicity, that we must grapple with. For our consecration unto God is something between us and God. We stand before Him, open as a book, read and clearly understood. Jesus wants us to clearly understand Him, His message, His purpose, that we would also embrace it and seek to be consecrated, seek to be dedicated to the purpose that God has for us. Jesus says that the hour had come. It was time that the Son of Man should be glorified. And we know that shortly after this, Jesus would be crucified, and He would rise from the dead, and He would ascend to the Father, where He sits at the right hand of God, and is glorified in the radiance of splendor with His Father and His love and His fellowship. But this hour that had come is an hour of glory and raising up and amplification, magnification of the Son of Man. And when we think of glory, we often think first of the radiance of beauty and of the dominion and power. But to magnify the Son of Man, who He is, what He stands for, what He came to demonstrate, was a service to His Father, was a dedication, was a sacrifice. And if you took everything that Jesus is and stands for and amplified it and magnified it to its highest degree, you would understand why Jesus said, "I must suffer and give my life." It's who He is. What He came to communicate to you and to me about God and what He thinks about you and what He desires for you is communicated in profound clarity. That the Son of Man had suffered, has gone to the cross, raised up physically. But so much more, His nature, His character has come out in bold relief against the darkness and sin, the pride and deception of this world in our suffering Savior. You know, Jesus said, many, many things that reveal light and truth. In the Old Testament, there was a teaching that God desired a people that were called out, that feared Him, that obeyed Him, that loved Him. And He promised mercy to 1,000 generations to them that love Him. And they saw at Mount Sinai the smoke and the thunders. But it didn't seem to have the effect. Why don't people believe that God intends and His character is the greatest calling and the most joy that can be experienced is in oneness with Him? People did not believe it, though it was preached in power and in so many different ways and miracles. And so Jesus said, there's no greater love than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And for you and me who did not believe it and who resisted and maybe still resist to embrace the consecration that God calls us to, Jesus reminds us. And the Word bears testimony. He loved us far more than we could ever imagine, and He demonstrated it in the greatest way that He could. not because some great payment was needed, though it was, but also so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt the message of God and what he intends. That you would know his heart. And he calls to you, come. The arms are open wide. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Many of us have planted gardens this year, and we planted seeds. And some of them germinated and some of them did not. And we see in that this very basic truth that Jesus is displaying. You plant a seed. What does it turn into? It doesn't just grow into a big seed, but it pours itself out, all of the strength, everything that is in that seed is devoted to making a change and to becoming a plant. When you think of a seed and a plant, the image is very, very different. Jesus did not fail in his purpose, like some of our seeds fail to germinate. He did not fail in his purpose to pour out himself that he might bear much fruit. And he calls us to follow this very pattern. We may start life like a seed. And there are certain characteristics that define us. And we are what we are. But Jesus calls us to die. And when we do, we are no longer the same. The image is completely different of a seed and a plant that bears fruit. That seed is completely spent. The identity is completely changed, and you no longer say, that's a seed, that's a grown seed. No, you say, that's a plant. It is changed. It's transformed. We know not how, but God grants the increase. And he calls us to that same pattern of self-denial. He did not fail to give his life and to provide for us that we might be part of his family, that we might be fruit unto God's honor and glory. He did not fail. Then he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. The seed that did not germinate in your garden, it's dead. And it's alone. And the man that seeks to keep his life just as he likes it, just according to his preference, and does not deny himself, and take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ, there is a guarantee of losing it. But also, there is a blessed hope that he who follows Jesus Christ, as he was not of this world, that we would also not be of this world, not of the seeking its pride and position, its power, it's deception, but seeking to be fruitful servants in God's kingdom, deferring our desires and pleasures. For his sake and his glory, he will keep it unto life eternal. The words of Jesus Christ. All efforts to preserve ourselves, who we are, our significance, our meaning, our stamp of impact on this world, is to be feared, because there's great danger in self-preservation. Jesus calls us to surrender and to let go. And there's life that will follow. Those who have been renewed in their heart and mind and know Jesus Christ know how true this is. Know the great sorrow and sadness that comes when we have strayed, when we have turned from the character of God and being consecrated unto him, and know that it is not worth it. It is not worth it. It is not worth it even to gain the whole world and to lose our soul. Jesus says these words or something very similar. It's recorded 6 times in the Gospels. In each of the 4 Gospels, the Gospel writers felt that this was something necessary to include in the message of Jesus Christ. There's only 2 miracles, the resurrection and the feeding of the 5,000, among the miracles that are recorded in all 4 Gospels. But this teaching is repeated. Jesus then goes on to say, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." He is saying one and the same thing over and over again. Many people want to serve God. They'd like to serve Jesus Christ. You ask, what do you do to serve Jesus Christ? How do Christians serve God? Well, they go to church. They sing songs. They give some money. They worship. They learn the Bible. And they can answer the questions about the faith. And many want to serve. And Jesus says, if you'd like to serve, be free to also follow. He's made it clear that he's going to the cross, so there's no question as to what he means. Oh, yes, we would like to continue on and go to where I am, there shall my servant be, and think of the joys of heaven. And yes, there's a promise of eternal life to all who serve and follow Jesus Christ in faith. But there is a time of sanctification and consecration here below that prepares us for heaven. And any man that would desire to serve Jesus, be free to follow him. Don't be afraid of what you're going to lose, or loving your life so much that you cannot deny yourself. The grace of our Lord possesses is greater than all the treasures of this world. So don't be afraid of what you will lose. Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. This reminded me of the story of the widow. She gave 2 mites. Do you picture her putting the money in? and Jesus watching from a distance. I wonder if perhaps the first coin, on it said, serving. You know, and as she put that first coin in, serving, she could have walked away and said, I've given half my goods to feed the poor. But she quietly and with a faithful heart put the second one in. And that one says, follow me. And Jesus said that she has given more than all of the rich men in their fine robes and in the wonderful beasts that they brought to sacrifice, that they gloried in, because she loved. And she gave her all, just like that seed that died and poured itself out and brings forth fruit now. How disappointed everyone that puts in the coin of service to be seen of men, who walks away with the coin of following in their hand. What are you holding on to that for? Why don't you give it? Why don't you let it go? It's between me and the Lord. It's between you and Christ. And he sees. And he knows that that love that both serves and follows in this self-sacrificing way, they find him. It is that love that leads to love's beginning, that leads to Christ, that leads to knowing him and being filled with his joy. How easy and often we stop short. Jesus says, don't be afraid of giving your all. Go ahead. Be free to follow him. This high calling and very clear and strong commitment that we are called to can understandably make us tremble. And Jesus has a word for us who, when we understand the commitment and the life that we are being called to, it's understandable that we tremble. And Jesus begins to speak. And he says things for our benefit. And for the benefit of anyone who hears the call of God and wonders, I can't. Jesus offers help. And he says, now is my soul troubled. He understands every temptation, worry, and fear that we may go through, but invites us, come out on the water, come and follow me. He understands that we are so weak and we tremble at the commitment and the consecration that we're called to. And what shall I say? When we have questions and wonder, which way should I turn? I have a choice between these two paths to go. What am I going to do? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus recognizes the purpose to which he was dedicated. Well, that makes a big difference. In seeking to escape and to defer and to protect myself, and my desires. I'm here for a purpose. Yes, you are. And Jesus can help you that you don't fail. And that you, in a time of trouble, would learn to look to God with your questions, with your concern, with your troubled heart. And that he would help you sort it out so that you would answer, Father, glorify thy name. I'm being asked to do something that I can't do on my own. And Jesus is teaching me how to look to our Father for all of the help to change our heart and to help us to realize when we let go what great freedom and help there is. A woman once came to a minister and asked, can you in simple terms explain what consecration is? And he kindly showed her an empty piece of paper. He said, take this. Sign your name to the bottom and let the Lord fill out the rest. Let the Lord fill out what needs to be filled out in your life. Whether you're scared, whether you're anxious, whether you don't feel up to the task. It's the trust and the faith that's exercised when we hear the word of Jesus and give him the paper. May God bless his word. Amen.
The example is given of a corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. We alone, as a corn of wheat, if we don't fall into the ground and die, we are absolutely worthless. We cannot feed anyone. We cannot provide anything. There's nothing. We of ourselves, and that we have to die as Christ died. We must die with him in baptism and resurrection to the newness of life. And Christ, such beautiful words we have read this morning. He that loveth his life shall lose it. What is it that we love? Do we love our own life? What is it? It's the things that are in this life. If I love those things, I'm going to lose my life. That's what Christ is laying out here. He said, but if you hate your life, I hate being that corn of wheat that it does nothing of itself. It must die. And Christ speaks of rejecting him. He that rejecteth me receives not my words. So when we reject him, what is it? Does that mean I want nothing to do with Christ? No. We reject his word. All his word? No, we may receive 90% of it, but we still reject it. If there's any word, because he instructs us, don't let anger, hatred, lust, pride, all those things, the love of money, don't let those things in your heart. If I love one and I can easily reject the others, am I rejecting him? Yes. I'm not walking in the light. I'd rather walk in the darkness of rejecting what he has instructed me to do. And he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, he has one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in that last day. And he talks in the Gospel of John in 17 chapters. He says, this is life eternal. If we love him and receive his words, he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life, to know him. To know him. And dear ones, I'd like to just close with this a benediction of the Apostle Paul in the Hebrews. He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. This was that corn of wheat that died. He could have died. He could have not have died and still would have went to heaven in his own purity and holiness that he was. He could have, but we could have never been redeemed then. So he says, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.